The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Tomorrow we'll be giving over 7:30, the entire programme, to the budget, because it is one of the big events of the year where politics and economics intersect, and it's particularly interesting this year given that we are very close to a general election when people will get the opportunity to decide, do they want to have the same government doing the same things again, or do they want change? Now those are debates that we'll have on different dates, but tomorrow we will have various people with us to analyse and parse what's in the budget statements, what it's going to mean particularly for your finances. And we will have the Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers, with us for interview, and the Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, and also various opposition people and various vested interest lobbyists who have been looking for changes to be brought in this budget, and we'll see tomorrow whether they have been successful or not. 0874 100 102 gives you the last word to contribute to that. Already people have been in touch today. Double social welfare bonus. I work hard and have to pay for doctors, prescriptions and everything else and still just get by. I don't get double pay bonus. I see families not working and able to go to the pub every night. I'm lucky if I can go out once a month. We have Professor Gary Murphy with us, but first Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. Tell us about the rows that apparently have been taking place within government as to the amounts that will be given to social welfare recipients, and Heather Humphrey's desire, which seems not to have been acted upon, to differentiate between pensioners and carers and those who are long-term unemployed.
Yeah, so since the summer economic statement, Matt, has been set out that there would be increases to the core social welfare rates and for carers. And what has happened in recent years is that the increase to welfare recipients has been almost in tandem or exact to the increases in the job seekers allowance. The point being made by Fine Gael and Heather Humphreys in recent days behind the scenes is, why is there a merit in increasing the level of job seekers at a time when the country's at full employment? Now, this has drawn a pretty sharp response from the Fianna Fáil side of the house in government. Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach and Fianna Fáil leader, was out this morning accusing, you know, Fine Gael essentially of misspinning and overspinning, and kind of really shot down the notion that this has been raised anywhere in any sort of formal meeting, or any sort of, it seems to kind of put it down to a bit of gamesmanship or a bit of kind of silly play acting by the Fine Gael side in recent days. But you know, one would argue that when there's so much money around, and at a time, as I said, of virtual full employment, there is some logic in what Heather Humphreys is saying. Albeit there are cost of living pressures, and we know that there's a significant cost of living package being prepared in tomorrow's budget. It had been signalled when we went to print on Saturday for Sunday's paper at $1.5 billion. That increased yesterday. That envelope increased to $2 billion. So they're obviously looking to be more generous in terms of the amount of money they're going to give back families before Christmas. But ultimately, you know, that battle has been played out. There is a meeting of the finance ministers and the leaders at 6:30 this evening, at which I think all the final decisions will be signed off upon. The final social welfare package will be formally signed off tomorrow for fear of it actually leaking out. But I think,
Fear of it leaking out. Aren't they all sort of trying to beat each other to leak as much of it as possible so as to claim credit for it?
Well, they are. We have seen this increasing trend in recent years, Matt, of them kind of almost pre-briefing what's in the budget in order to try and get some credit for it. Obviously, given we are in the year of an election, that has sort of gone into overdrive. I think there pretty much is really very little left to know or be uncovered. But there is that formal process. There's always a cabinet meeting the morning of a budget to sign off on the final matters that might be tax sensitive, like increases in petrol, or excise on petrol, or the price of cigarettes, etc., that to avoid smuggling or black market activity. So that's that formal process that will happen tomorrow. But, you know, and we also know that Peter Burke, the Enterprise Minister, is still fighting, however successful or unsuccessful he may be, ultimately, to try and get some movement from Pascal Donoghue and the Department of Finance and Jack Chambers on the issue of the 9% VAT for hospitality. They know they're getting hammered by local businesses and the lobby groups, because there have been a number of high-profile closures in recent months. And ultimately, Jack, you know, Peter Burke has made it his mission since taking up that portfolio to try and do something for those. And he has certainly put a stall out saying that he is in favour of returning the VAT rate to 9%, but we know that there's strong opposition from Merrion Street on that one, because it was seen to be kind of rewarding big hotels, because they weren't able to separate out your local coffee shop or hairdresser from the hotels who also benefited from that 9% VAT rate.
Okay, Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at School of Law and DCU, and also, of course, columnist with the Irish edition of the Sunday Times. What about that point brought up by Danny that, you know, we get to know it all now in advance of the budget, which isn't the way it used to be? Does that actually matter?
I'm not sure it matters anymore, Matt, but it certainly mattered in the past. You remember Phil Hogan famously resigned in 1995 after a press release from his office went out claiming credit before Rory Quinn, the Minister for Finance, and of course from the Labour Party, gave his budget speech. And now we might think three decades on, that's a bit quaint. When, as Danny says, we know pretty much everything that's going to be in this budget, except perhaps that there might be more spending. I mean, we're now living in an age where governments, particularly since COVID, have been spending at an advance rate. And the budget, I mean, we don't really have giveaway budgets just prior to an election. I was thinking back historically, I don't think we really had a giveaway budget and in an election very soon until way back in 1969, believe it or not, when Charlie Haughey gave a budget in May and there was an election in June. People talk about Charlie McCreevy giving an election budget back in 2007, but the following election actually wasn't...
Hang on, sorry, he wasn't in charge, he'd gone in 2002.
Oh, he had gone, Brian Cohen. And so what happened there was the election wasn't for 6 months later, and at that stage Fianna Fáil were in deep trouble, and most people, I think, including us, Matt, on your show, thought that Fianna Fáil would be out of office. So I'm not convinced about this idea of a giveaway budget that it actually works with the electorate, because the evidence isn't really there. But we do have, but there are no surprises, certainly.
There's some really interesting comments coming into 0874 100 102. Here's one that says, Heather Humphreys is right. No excuse for long-term unemployment, and absolutely no need to reward the long-term unemployed with a bonus payment. Ludicrous. Another one says, the social welfare handouts are absolutely ridiculous. Only encouraging people not to work when people are up at 5:30 in the morning to get out and work and pay tax to fund these payments. I would never begrudge the pensioners, as they were a generation who worked all their lives, and carer is a 24/7 job. But the job seeker and even the children's allowance will only see the likes of shopping centres packed out on these handout days, says another listener. Another one says, no cuts in tax for workers, a lot of whom are paying for everything. Raising social welfare is a joke, especially when we're supposed to have full employment. But there is going to be tax cuts, Danny McConnell, aren't there? There will be, the USC will be shaved. Danny, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
We hear you now, yes.
Yeah, we're pretty sure the USC will drop from 4% to 3% on incomes between 25 and 70,000. That's pretty much nailed on. We also know that the entry point to the higher rate of tax will go from 42,000 to 44,000. There have been some suggestions they will go as high as 45, but the point being made to us is that in the lifetime of this government, the entry point has gone from 33,000 up to 44,000, which is a significant increase. But I suppose there's still, I suppose, some expectation that there will be further kind of improvements in terms of tax credits for not only, you know, yourself earned tax credits and your carers tax credits, etc. like that. But I suppose what they haven't done, Matt, and I think we've talked about it before, they haven't gone the big bang and look to abolish the USC or do something. They're trying to spread the benefit of this not only to middle and lower income earners, but slightly to higher income. So there isn't that one big bang measure that some people may have intended. But I think the arguments coming from government is they're putting a lot of money on the table in terms of tax cuts. And, you know, for a lot of people, particularly on lower to middle income earners, their effective tax rate has dropped by between 4% and 5% over the lifetime of this government, which is not insignificant. It's just, I suppose, whether or not the drops are significant enough for people to genuinely feel them, and therefore are they significant enough to give them electoral credit when the election comes, be it in November or in March.
Mick in Cork says, to all those who bitch about the unemployed, try living on €235 a week and only €235 a week, and add to that the depression that your life is a handout while you try and get work. That was from Mick in Cork. And there are others. Another one says, dog whistling by Fine Gael, disgraceful electioneering for their base, creating greater social division. The amount of money given to job seekers is minuscule compared to the billions wasted. And that's an interesting point, Gary Murphy, because even today we've seen the Controller and Auditor General come out with reports about massive waste, effectively, of public money. 225 million wasted on transport structures that were never, ever built. And as one person today said to me, you talk about bike sheds and then you talk about 225 million on train lines that they haven't even broken ground on.
Yeah, just on Fine Gael first, Matt, to some of the listeners' comments. Yeah, this goes back to Leader's old idea of Fine Gael standing for people who got up early in the morning and did hard day's work and paid their taxes and should be somehow rewarded. And but Heather Humphreys isn't part of a coalition government, and part of a coalition means you have to compromise. And I think there is a compromise here. I think Fine Gael would certainly like to keep social welfare rates pretty much at the same level, particularly unemployment rates. But their opponents, or not their opponents, their colleagues in government simply wouldn't wear it. And it's not worth the battle fighting, I think, with a general election a couple of months away. On waste, yeah, certainly. I mean, we live in a state that, since its foundation, has had a sorry record in getting big infrastructural projects finished on time and in good financial order. They eventually get done, and I think the Children's Hospital will get done. And, of course, it will cost an astronomical amount, but there will be some asset at the end of the day, at least for it. But it's sometimes little things that trip you up, and I sense that the idea of the money on the bike shed in particular, maybe the physical therapist for the senators at a cost of whatever it is, 140,000, which isn't very much, but certainly most people have to pay for their gym membership. So these are the type of things that annoy voters, and that sometimes give them long memories when they go to the ballot box.
And indeed, Gary, could that then make it, in some respects, difficult for the government to sell a massive public spending programme tomorrow when they start talking about what they'll do with the Apple money and with the AIB shares, which brings that to it's over 16 billion between the two of them, and other windfalls that people will say, well, that's great, but how much of that is going to be wasted?
Yeah, the government has a great story to tell in relation to its what it has in its coffers, because practically, uniquely in the European Union, and if we look only at Britain next door, where they haven't, literally a penny to their name, and austerity is going to be the name of the game for literally, I think, the whole of the Labour Party's tenure in power, certainly in a first term, they can only look on at envy with what the government here has amassed. But the evidence in terms of good projects coming to fruition in good costly time isn't there. So yeah, I don't think people, I think tomorrow, Matt, will look at, well, what's my paycheck going to be like? What's going to be taken out in terms of tax? If you see your paycheck going up, which I think most people will, then you consider, well, is it worth re-electing this government or not? And I tend to think this is not a budget that will be either Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or the Greens. It's a government budget, I think it strengthens the idea of a government versus an opposition as we face into the looming election.
Okay, many of your comments coming to 0874 100 102. An effective 5% tax cut is absolutely pointless. We still have terrible services and bad infrastructure along with hyperinflation. Most sane people would give up the tax cuts for better services if the government could spend the money effectively. Would people give up the tax cuts for better services? Do they trust them to actually spend the money efficiently? There's plenty coming in here. Let me try this one. I'm a single parent of three with a child in college. I've lost my HAP payment, will not be entitled to working family payment. I drive 80 kilometres one way to work each day. I spent thousands on my degree, become a teacher, and I still would be better off not working. I had much more money when I worked part-time, 20 hours a week, low-paid job, and had more time. Thinking of quitting teaching and going to social welfare payment, what's the point if the amount we spend on fuel is not calculated to any benefits? It's shocking. And then we have another one saying, still nothing for the beauty industry, always the hair industry, never beauty. Small salons are killed with VAT and tax payments, not to mention sick days and higher rates of pay and no trainee pay. I'm sick of it. Where are the incentives for people building houses? In the UK, first-time home builders get materials VAT free. Surely it's radical thinking like this we need, says Dave in Limerick. Danny McConnell, would you expect any radical thinking in tomorrow's budget?
Not a huge amount, Matt. I think what we're likely to see is a continuation of the sort of policies that we've seen from this government over the last number of years, of almost trying to give something to everybody. You know, the big areas that they sort of concentrate on in recent years has been investing in the childcare sector, but we're still hearing a lot of complaints from the sector that the money given from government is nowhere near sufficient to actually fund the sector properly. We've seen some movement on tax cuts, but again, it's been very minimal in terms of the impact of what people can see or feel in their pockets. I think where they might try, Matt, in kind of go gangbusters is the sort of once-off cost of living measures. You know, we have been talked and primed for an additional one child benefit payment before Christmas. We now look that there'll be two per child. They're still, you know, they've committed to at least one energy credit before Christmas. There may be movement on that.
I'm hearing there's a suggestion there's going to be two of 125 each before the end of the calendar year.
And that's very likely. I mean, that's very likely, because that's where they have flexibility. That's, you know, that's kind of off balance sheet. That's kind of this year's money. It's not permanent. It's once off. So with that extra money, that huge surplus that they have some flexibility to put some money into the economy and put some money back into people's pockets. So that's where you're likely to see them move on that. What they're trying not to do, Matt, is put in and bake in permanent spending based on century windfalls, because that's the big mistake of what happened in the noughties. They're trying not to do that this time around. So what you're likely to also see tomorrow is a huge emphasis on infrastructure. The three areas that the government have identified are water, energy and housing. So the LDA is going to get a huge amount more money through various funds, ICEF being one. Irish Water needs a huge amount of money to basically get itself up to scratch. You know, since the decision to scrap water charges or domestic water charges, it's been underfunded. And energy, obviously we know the grid is in kind of, it's creaking at the moment. So they're the three big infrastructure areas that we're likely to see. And that's where they're likely to, what they don't want to do is just give more money to hospitals, doctors, because that's permanent spending. And they're just loath to basically get into a position that they're at risk of putting their country or needing to have to implement austerity down the line if they spend too much there.
Look, we'll have all the details tomorrow. We'll have them confirmed. We'll assess them then. Thank you very much, Danny McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and Gary Murphy, professor of politics at the School of Law and Government in Dublin City University.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.